Today's daf is daf Lamed Beis. Let's start from the two dots, Lamed Beis. Niktam Rosho. We were talking about a lulav whose top has been sliced off. So what exactly Rosho is not so poshut. The Ashkenazim are very makbid because of the psak of the Ramah and a lot of these sugyas that Rosho represents just the tiyomet, the middle two leaves that come up from the shidra. It's important to get the terminology correct. And the shidra of the lulav is the part that resembles the spine where things are branching off from it, like the ribs. Once nothing's branching off, it was at the very top, you still have the continuation of what was the shidra as its own leaf that continues up. The leaves of the lulav, all of the leaves of the lulav, are actually twinned. So that what looks like a single leaf, if you take a look on one side, it's open and it's connected with a membrane in the middle on the other side. That middle leaf, or if there's more than one of them, they're all at the same level coming up in Shidra, is called the Tiyomet. Tiyomet means a twin, Lashon Ta'uma. That's because all the leaves are twinned. Now the question is, what exactly do we mean when we say Niktam Rosho? Rosho could mean the actual Shidra. Anything above the shidra is meaningless, which would be a very big kula because it's almost never seen. You have niktam, the actual shidra. Niktam rosho could be niktam, the top of most of the alim. It's also a kula, because it also rarely happens. Unfortunately, as I say, there are more paskins in a lot of these sugyas that just the middle two twinned leaf is called the rosho kulav, which would mean that all of these chumras would be, even if just the middle two leaves were cut off, just the slightest amount, that would be absurd. And the problem is to define what you mean by cut off just the little amount, because remember that another issue on the lulav is that if you take a look as the lulav grows, it's very difficult to distinguish where the leaf ends exactly and where the continued brownish growth that is actually similar to the skin covering on a human child, just a protective layer that gradually comes off, where does that begin? Sometimes it continues up for quite a way. You can have like even 2 inches of that brown growth, which is connected to the leaf, and it's, where do you define where the leaf ends and where the leaf ends? Yeah, it's amazing sometimes. You can't pull it off without wrecking the leaf. It's so well connected. Now, what the modern poskim have come up with, actually, is a definitive, and this is like a very recent halacha that has become accepted, is a definitive check for what is considered to be leaf and what is considered to be additional growth. And that is simply this. You could take a look at it here. If you have magnification, a minimum of 15 times magnification, then you can check the top of the leaf. If the leaf has been cut, then what is exposed is a channel, a very tiny channel that allows for water to move up the leaf. It's a capillary. If the channel is exposed, then you know that the leaf has been slit. If the channel is still whole and it's not exposed at all, then what was taken off wasn't really leaf, it was extended growth of the leaf. And then you don't have a problem with niktam. But without taking magnifying glass along, you've got a real problem. In defense, almost every lulav that you find out there has niktam on some level because somebody's pulled off that top growth. And therefore, you don't know whether the leaf has come along with it or not. Sometimes it's less than a millimeter that will make that difference. And I'll pass this around so you can see what it looks like under magnification. If you could see that, this picture under magnification, then you've got a problem of niktam. And even if it's just in the middle leaf, the tiyomet, the middle leaf, it means that it would be possible the way that the Ashkenazim are machmir.
And we should actually check with a magnifying glass?
If you have any doubt... Look, the question is that when something can't be defined at all, you see what's there, but you don't know what you're looking at. That's not the same thing as saying there's a dot on the esrog, but I don't see it. Obviously, you don't use a magnification to see a psul. Over here, you see there's a problem. You see that the leaf,
and then you have to define,
you have to define it. So to define it, you could define it with a magnifying. I mean, obviously, you don't run around with a magnifying glass to find a problem. I mean, the Torah wasn't given to magnification. It's in all things. Otherwise, we'd very rapidly dehydrate, having no water to drink.
We magnify the names.
Okay, so that would be niktam rosho. If it hasn't been actually cut off, but what's happened is that it's been pulled apart. Now again, what is rosho? Rashi learns roshei ha'alim. Now that could be the two alim that he's calling, the one ala that he's calling a tiyomet, or it could be, again, rov alav, which is the way the Shulchan Aruch seems to learn. But as I said, the Ramah, again, is very makban on this. Many of the Akronim that have come later than the Ramah, even the Svarnim, have insisted that the Ramah's approach is correct. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't really commit himself strongly to what pshat it means. And therefore, again, we're makban. What would Nistak kosher mean? So Nistak would mean that it hasn't actually been cut off, but the two parts seem to be separated. Asks the Gemara of Nistak kosher, Vatanya lulav kafuf. If you have a lulav that is bent over like a hunchback, or kavutz. Kavutz is a machlok, as Rashi learns, kavutz is a lashon of coats, which means that it has thorny pieces sticking out of it that haven't bent over like leaves. Others learn kavutz is a lashon of shrunken, meaning that it's sort of dried out. The Oroch uses it. Saduk. Now, Saduk is what we were just talking about. Look, I thought. Saduk meant it split. Akum. If it's akum, what do we mean by akum? Akum doma lemagal. So that now it's bent similar to a sickle.
Like we saw this morning?
We're going to discuss each one of these. It's possible. Charut is also pasul. Now, charut means that it's already hardened. The chariot hadekel are the lulavim that have matured, opened up as leaves, and now the middle part turns into basically wood. It's no longer soft. It can't be bent at all. And then you have pieces sticking out of it, and a lot of them fall off, you know, as you see at the. But what's left is hard. So that's definitely pasul. If it's dome, the charut, it's still within, let's say, a year or two. It hasn't hardened completely, so then it's not really yet wood. Then it's kosher. Omer of Papa. The answer is here. It says saduk is pasul, and before we said that saduk is kosher in the name of Rabbi Funa quoted that. There's a difference. One is talking about the avid kihimnik. That's the solution. Now, the avid kihimnik means a sort of a, they used to use this pen, which would have a split, and very similar to our fountain pens, which you have two pieces that come out at the end. And there you have basically a lulav. Now Rashi learns, a very big kula, Rashi learns that the shidra itself, the actual spine of the lulav, grew up in two, almost as two spines. So that the lulav itself looked like a V for Vendetta. No, just like a V. Right? So that all going all the way through the spine of the lulav, you had basically a split spine.
But it never split, it was grown that way.
Yeah, exactly. Now that's a big kula because you'll almost never find something like that. But once again, unfortunately, we paskin like the Ramah. The Ramah paskins that even if it's the middle leaf, and this people make a very big mistake because they confuse Nechlaka hatiyomet with Ovid kehimnik. Nechlaka hatiyomet simply means that the membrane that connects the back of the two leaves of every leaf, but in this case the tiyomet being the middle leaf of the lulav, is separated. So everybody looks for that. You know, so they'll say, oh, is it connected? It's not. The truth is, it isn't really much of a problem. You just take some super glue, put it back together. I mean, if it. So there's no. Our problem is only that we're afraid when it's separated. Because if it isn't separated until the very end, it's really not a problem. Except that usually when you shake the lulav, it comes and it separates till the ends. But it'll super glue there, so it doesn't, that way it won't separate. That's really not the problem. But they don't recognize that it's very common, with the Ramah's definition, that it's not only separated, but it's also moving out in different directions, like a V at the very top. That's extremely common. According to the Rama, that's mamish possible. Let me show you it. No, for the Middle East. Where's the book? Let me show you a... They have a picture? Yes. That's a good picture. Can't believe it. How did that happen? How did it happen? So let's see if he's got some nice pictures of the other
picture.
Okay, here we've got picture number 99 here. 99 is a very, very common, and according to Rama, it's possible. I would say 50% of the Lulavim have this problem. This other
picture.
Even the tiny tippy tippy. Does that have a picture? Does that have a nice picture? Let me see.
The smallest little amount.
There's no shear that's given, that's the problem. And an actual hymnic is a small thing, so it may very well be something small.
The naked eye, you left, you obviously see the V.
Yeah, this, the shadow used to be a hymnic, you don't have a small
thing. What's that? This is Rashi's hymnic, it's number Mem Zayin. They don't have the Rambo's hymnic here.
Is this a hymnic?
What's that?
That's
a
utensil.
What, no, that's not Rashi's pshat. That's the Meiri's pshat. But it's basically, he's just talking about the shape. Oh, he's got a lot of pictures here. My gosh, I should have taken one of these and looked it through. Yeah, this is, he's got real pictures. Good. Maybe I like that. Really, I like
that.
Jeez. What is this? Okay. All right. It's got some funny pshatim here again, but I haven't had a chance to look at it, so let's go by it. Okum, we said, domela magal, what is that referring to? Amar Rava, lo amran ela lefanav. This is referring to a case where the lulav bends down in front, towards the ground. Avali hacharav, if it's bending up, it's coming up, that is the normal growth of a lulav, and that's briatehu, and that would be okay. That's not considered to be bent. Amar Rav Nachman, litzdad. Sorry?
The shedra is like...
It just goes up a little bit towards, as you're holding it, it bends back towards, towards, yeah.
Well, since you could just rotate it 180
No, you can't.
How would you know which is the problem?
Take a look at the lulav and you'll see. The spine is in the back, has to be facing you.
Okay.
Yeah. Omer of Nachman, litztadim kilafanav dami, v'armila kila acharav dami. If it's going to the side, and that's considered to be, some say it's considered to be kosher, it's equivalent of la'achrav, and some say it's considered to be kilafanav, and therefore pasul. Yomar Rava, hay lulava de solik b'chad hutza. If you have a lulav that grows with only one shrubbery, meaning that it's coming out, Rashi learns that all of the leaves are coming out of one side of the shidra. That's a really, it's a mutation. So that you don't have leaves on both sides, you have leaves only on one side. This is how Rashi learns. Balmumu, that's basically a mutation, and it's possible. Others learn that Solik Bechad Hutz is a much more fundamental mum, and that is that the leaves were not formed with the typical tiyomet construction. Each leaf is single, rather than being the classic rule of double leaf, which is a completely different psul. There's no resemblance to Rashi. Again, obviously, we're machmer like both of these. Nifritzu alav. So what is nifritzu alav? Remember that nifritzu, according to Rashi, means that they were actually detached. And that's omer of papar, nifritzu da'avi kichufya. That's Rashi takes it seriously. Literally, kichufya is a broom. So nifritzu would mean that the leaves have been removed completely and then retied, like a broom. They used to use, actually, lulavim as brooms. So it would be similar to the idea of a broom, in which it was detached, and then you tied it on. But others learn that that's bechlal, not that it doesn't have any, well, how would I think the tying it on would be kosher? I mean, nifritzu, therefore others learn nifritzu, means that they became spread out to the extent that they look like a broom, because you have like so many different leaves sticking out along a foot instead of being straight like a pencil, but they're still attached. It's not that they're not attached at the bottom. Nifridu would mean the ifrudi frudi. So this is Rashi's pshat. The ifrudi frudi is similar to that pshat. In other words, that they just were separated. They're no longer connected along the entire length of the shidra, but that they are connected all the way at the bottom. Boyer of Pro. The bottom, where it's attached to the shidra, it remains attached. So according to Rashi, it's all very literal. The nifridu would be okay, but because they're still attached, but they spread out. Boy Rav Papa, how about nechlaka hatiyonet mahu? So again, the way we would be learning the nistak, although as I said, there are other rishonim, the rishonim will learn differently, and they learn nistak would mean actually along the thickness of the leaf, not that it's a function of the leaf being turned into two parts like the pictures that we saw, in which they've been separated, but that rather that there's an actual slit through the depth of the leaf, the width of the leaf, in other words, which go in two different directions, would be the hymnic. And over here, it's just nechleka hatiyomet. However, the simple difference is, the way that we are noyeg lahalocha, is that the nechleka hatiyomet, they're not spread apart. Most nechleka hatiyomets, you have to work very hard to find that they're nechleka. They don't look any different than any other leaf. Because all that's happened is that the membrane has been slit, but the leaf still pops back into place. You can't tell that it's slit until you actually physically pull it apart and see nothing's holding it together. Mashen came the nistak, which we said was only possible if it's kehimnik, is visibly going in two different directions. It's obviously not connected in the least. There are those who also learn a third shot in the hymnic, which is that the top, not the shidra, the way Rashi was learning, but at the top, because of the other leaves of the lulav. I showed somebody this yesterday at Abe's. Was it you?
I think so.
So that the top of the lulav looks again like a hymnic, even though the middle leaf is whole, because the leaves,
right,
between all the leaves, they separate out on top. Okay, all of these things obviously should be avoided. You might as well get a lulav that's kosher, like, oh. So nechleka hatiyomet mahu toshma, that apparently, since we find Rabbi Maton quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that only nitla hatiyomet is psula, so then apparently the nitla would be the same as nechleka, because for all intents and purposes it's not there, right? So my love would be nechleka. No, not necessarily. Obviously nitla will be more chamur. It's missing completely. By the way, there are some very nasty lulav sellers who, when there's a problem at the top of the lulav, they simply cut away the middle leaf all the way down to the shidra, so they don't even notice that there was a middle leaf. And they leave it looking, because a lot of lulavim end with three branches coming up out of the shidra all at the same level, so that no one of them can be called the shidra. So in such a case, you have three tiyomot, basically. If you have three tiyomot, they cut away the middle ones, you don't even notice. So when you look, you think you have two tiyomot. Well, wow, this is great. And the two are fine, so you don't even realize that there's a lulav that's basically been cut. So it's niktan, and it's totally
cut.
Gone.
These are people probably going to
do see if it's cut.
Well, you know how it is when you start. You know. It always begins for the right reason. You have to look carefully, though, because most people don't peel apart the shidra all that carefully. They just look at what's... It's very difficult, actually, to trace the tiyomet in many lulavim.
There's only one tiyomet.
Not necessarily. There could be as many as three tiyomet.
Even though only one of them is in the middle.
No, there's sometimes the shidra splits into three parts that are exactly the same height.
So
even though one is in the middle, that doesn't make it the tiyomet.
No,
anything that's above the level in which the shidra now splits into separated leaves would be called a tiyomet, according
above
to me.
Above the level?
In other words, a shidra is defined as a spine that has things branching off of it. When things stop branching, it's not a spine, it's a leaf. Well, how about when there's no particular, you have just three leaves that keep going up, they don't branch, they just go straight up, and all those three leaves, the end of the shidra is at the end of the, where those three leaves are, break off the shidra, but they're all the same. There's no reason to view, according to many shittas, there's no reason to view the middle one specifically as more important than any other.
What if the middle one's a little longer?
Yeah, if you want, I have a luluf.
You brought a luluf to show us?
To show you.
That has, oh, just to show me.
Yeah, I mean, you
may
have as many.
Just driving you crazy. But are there issues?
I have no idea.
Ah. let's create the issues. Let's find every psul in this. See, the first question that someone who checks your lulav will ask you is, how much did you pay for the lulav? Seriously, because depending on what you pay, you can expect a different level of either, for sure. So if you take a look, I'll pass this around, if you take a look at this lulav, you will see... it's all Abe's fault, basically. Any problems with this lulav? It must be, as I'm saying, it must all be his fault if there's a problem.
Speak this out loud so we can learn I'm
trying to see it, but let me just first turn it. We said that according to Tosfos, the Yovesh would have to be Nifrach Bitsipore. It would have to be so dry that if I rub it, it crumbles. However, this is not that dry. However, there are those that learn, a number of the Rishonim that learn, that once it loses all of its mara of green and turns completely white, even though it won't actually crumble, that that's considered to be yavish, even a mashu. In which case, the only issue over here is the part that's white, part of the leaf, or as you could see, as I will pass it around, is the part that's white the leaf extension, but the leaf itself would remain whole. So in other words, if we would let's say we would rub that off and we look at it under magnification, that we'd end up having a complete leaf without exposing that capillary in the middle.
What does leaf extension mean?
Well, this particular lulav has got most of its extensions already kaput. But let's see if we can find one that's
a car that's on it.
Yeah, here we go. If you take this leaf, you'll see how difficult it is to see where the leaf ends and where the protective coating begins. Okay, so pass that around. We'll leave this one out, as you can see that. And then you take a look at the tops, and you'll see all of these problems. The yeveshut on all of the top leaves. Then you'll see the nechlekat yomet. And then you'll see even when you press it together, it still looks like a hymnic. So here, pass it around for those of you who could still see.
Make
even if it's got this protective layer, isn't it better if it's in one split on top?
Well, no, it depends. Not necessarily, because sometimes you can't tell that it's split.
What is the protective layer?
Take a look. You'll see the leaf over there. Let's also point out that being as this year the first day of Sukkot is a Shabbos, we don't have to be so machmir on the psulin because all of the chiyuv is on the drabonim. Except maybe in the old city. But it's okay. I mean, nobody here would live in the old city, so you got to be crazy to live in the old city.
Generally likely that if it's a very dark green, it's more likely that you
seen where?
The whole very dark green means it's much younger. It's a younger one.
Actually, the younger ones are sometimes a little bit yellow. They're like immature. Yeah, they haven't even come to me. It's not always 100% the sign. You can have a lulav that looks absolutely stunningly green, and then at the top it's Listen to this.
He bought 5,000 beloved from Jordan, but that's what the only source they have now is Jordan, and they're all very skinny, very thin. The Jordanian ones aren't the Elarish are better ones, but that's what they have in the ship. 5,000. And they were selling for 100 shekels.
And?
They were selling for 100 shekels. And he said a lot of them were pursuing. Mm. 5,000. I'll go with them to
Jordan tomorrow.
Jordan's in Barney, yes, mate.
The rabbis that are picked in the Tel Aviv area, in the Sharon area, as the rabbi said, those are fresh, and they picked straight from the tree.
Really?
Yeah, those are the best ones, because they pick them from the young.
In the Sharon,
area, because they're not dry and they have a lot of
moisture. You remember when we used to go right above the Kinneret to that? We actually picked them ourselves. Remember what was the name of that town? I don't remember. Right at the tip, the north of the Kinneret. And there you get fresh lager. Sorry.
Just to make Alon feel a little better, I once heard that Rav Moshe writes something about because people at the time were spending so much money on
Yeah. Swimming,
that it's better get something that's, make her a dinner's kosher and buy your wife a nice dress.
Sounds like a wonderful idea. One is definitely a deraiser, right? The other one.
Is that the dress? The dress and the dress.
So, that's it.
Is there referring to the first of the
how much does the dress cost?
Okay, anyway, Baruch Hashem. It's incredible, the timing is perfect.
Who wanted the one that was shot first?
Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you have to tie it down. He quotes Rabbi Tarfada saying, Kaput Tmorim is a lashon of kafut, means tied together, to teach you that im haya parud, if the leaves have spread, then yechaftenu, you are responsible to be kofet the leaves. Omer Ravina Luravashi, how do you know, bichlal, that kapot marim is a lulav? I'd love to know how you got to that. Now, obviously, all of these things are Kabbalahs from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but where does it say it in the Torah? I mean, it says kapot marim. How do you know kapot marim doesn't mean just the leaves of a palm? The leaves of a palm are like these big, which we use for schach, these big things that stick out in all directions. People refuse to believe that those were once loven. That's right. So how do you know it's not a charuta? Because it says kapot. Kapot means that it's bendable. So it has to be kafut. And it means that they're tied together, so to speak. They look like they are all kafut. That they're up against the leaf. Does this look like it's up against the leaf? Laleka. Well, so maybe it means an ufta. If all you need is it should be up against the leaf. You know, at the bottom of the palm, where the leaves once separated, they're now one big piece of wood. Take that, with those little sticky things coming out.
The green.
They're right at the bottom. They're just wood, that's all. So there you go. That's about as kafut as it'll ever get. Best kafut you can find. No. Kafut michlal de'ika parud, but I kafut v'omeit. Kafut means that there was a way in which it wasn't kafut. It started off opened. Now you're the one that can put it together. This thing is a piece of wood. This is not kafut. It's all one piece. That's the way it is. Well, how about the kufra? Maybe it means basically the charuta, but young. You can take the leaves that haven't hardened into wood and tie each piece until it's up against the middle branch, and then you've got basically an oversized, stickish lulav. So why can't it be that? Omer Abaye, because it says, Drochei Adarchei Noam, V'chol Nativoteha Shalom. Can you imagine guys walking around with this stuff? It's bad enough even to hold it when you're trying to put it on your sukkah. You end up with these horrific cuts and splinters half through your fingers from it. That's all we need. I'm sure that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. We should be walking around with these daggers. That can't be. Omar le rova tosfola ravina. But how do you know that kapot tamarim doesn't simply mean two bunches of dates? Because it's also called kapot. It's perfect. So imatarti kapotatamin. And that's really pretty, too. I mean, they're so pretty. Red, you know, that orangey-red color, and very decorative. And it's great. No, because it says kapat. It doesn't say kapot. And as Tosis pointed out before, and he points out here again, that everybody is made it, that you have to take a look at the Masoret as well, not only at the Mikra, and explain why it would be different. Okay, fine. One bunch of dates. I'll settle for one. How about that? No, because one bunch of dates is called a kaf, not a kafut. So therefore, you're stuck. So it can't be the hardened branches. That's disgusting. Can't be the actual dates, because that's called a kaf. So all that you're left with, basically, is the lulav. But what are you going to do?
The Gemara doesn't actually have a habanero that
no. Because we know it's not that, but we'd like to see it in the pasuk. Where's the pasuk telling us this? Very often we do that. Tzine har habarzel kashera. Now tzine, of course, this tzaniyata is the Aramaic for palm. Hani tzaniyata the bava we had back in Brochus. Do you remember that? That was the Tiyul in Brochus of Lamed Aleph, where he was walking him all the way to Hani tzaniyata the bava, where they're there for the days of Adar Barisha. Beautiful story. But anyway, so tzaniyata is a way to refer to palms. Tzine har habarzel would therefore mean the palms that either are formed like a har habarzel, they look like they come from Mordor, or it means that they grew, meaning that they're very tough. And or it could mean that they grew in a place where it's very, very tough ground to grow in. Basically, what happens to them is that they form stunted leaves so that the lulav is made, you see these actually sometimes, the lulav is made, first of all, you see the actual piece coming out before it bends, because it's tough. So instead of seeing what looks like a straight line, you see the line with the thing coming out and then bent up against it. So you can actually make out the fact that it's bent. It's hard at the bottom. Plus, they're stunted in their length, so that often they don't cover the shidra itself. So the top of one leaf doesn't even reach the point at which the beginning of the next leaf, they have one? Yeah, but I mean, you can't really see anything. That's what he showed me. I can't see very much. Yes, yeah. It's exaggerated, but that's a good picture. Take a look in the Ma'or. What picture is that?
157.
In 157, in the Ma'or. It's an exaggerated scene, Arabas. But it shows what the issues are.
They're showing the
Greek here. Yeah, that one is kosher. So Omar Abay Aloshana Aloshirosho Sazem Magielet Sadikarosho Zeh. When is this kosher? If the top of one leaf gets up to the bottom of the next leaf. Then it's malformed and it's possible. It must be that this is true because the Braita says that Tzinei Harabarzel is possible, but the Mishnah said Beferush it's kosher. So obviously there's two types of Tzinei Harabarzel. Must be that Abaya's distinction is correct. In fact, there are some who point out originally the contradiction, which Abaya then came to answer. Our Mishnah says, Tam Sinei Harabarzel Kosher. Doesn't the Braita say Psula? To which Abaya replied, Lo Kasha, Kansha Rosh Hoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshosh Omer Rabbi Mari and Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and some say it was Tana Rabba Bar Mori, Yeshua Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. If you go down to Gei ben Hinnom, which is right outside of the Old City, seems to be extending into the Old City recently. So if you go to Gei ben Hinnom, you see there that there are two palm trees. And between those two palm trees, you've got smoke pouring out between them. Those palm trees, they don't grow too well. The lulavs, those are Tzidei HaRabarazal. Oh, and by the way, the smoke, that's Pitcha Shel Gehinnom. You don't want to step too close to that. You remember that story? I'm walking along and a couple of Hasidim come over to me and say, do you know where the palm trees with the smoke is? Can you direct me? I love it. The literalness. They didn't speak English.
There's plenty of smoke there.
Yeah. Lulav sheyeshbo shloshat tvachim. Now the Mishnah, remember the Mishnah was a bit misleading because the Mishnah said lulav sheyeshbo shloshat tvachim kidei lenanea was mashba that the shear that is required for nianua is three tvachim, and that's a little misleading as we'll see. Omer Rav Yonah b'Shmuel shiur hadas va'arava shlosha. Actually, the hadasim and the aravot have to be three tvachim, but the lulav has to be four tvachim. The lulav needs to extend beyond the hadas a tefach. Now, this is interesting because the Rashi says over here, kishem shehu gavoa mimino mikulam. The lulav should extend beyond because it's naturally larger and therefore should show its size. Problem is that the Mishnah says that it's Kidei L'Na'aneh. What the heck is Rashi throwing in his own Pirish? If the Kidei L'Na'aneh means that the lulav is the thing that is the main thing that we're shaking and that does shake, so then what is Rashi saying? Is somewhere medayik from Rashi that we're referring to a completely different point over here. How about if your hadas is five tefachim long? So what Rashi is saying is, the lulav should then be six tefachim long. There's two issues. There's the minimal shear, so that if your hadas is the minimal shear, then the lulav requires a tefach for nianua. But lamaisa, even if it's big enough to be minanea, it still requires an extra tefach than the other, meaning, because it's meant to extend beyond them. Some say that's good for what Rashi is coming to say. Lamaisa, we're machmir to do that, even though it doesn't possibly. But lechatchila, you should see to it that the lulav does extend beyond the other minim. By the way, you should just know the Rambam has a very different pirush in Kedei Lana'ano. He learns it means the handle, to hold on the bottom of the lulav in order to be menanea. It has nothing to do with how far beyond that hadas it sticks out. Because the hadas could be tied up in the middle of the lulav, basically. But you need to have that room, a tefach, which is your hand. A hand is a tefach. That's the shear of a tefach. So you need to hold the lulav. It's a completely different approach.
This is not Rashi, correct?
The opposite of Rashi. Right. So Rabbi Parnach, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Says, no. This, you're missing the point here. This is very misleading, your statement. It's shidro shalulav tzarechiyetze min hadas tefach. That's a whole different can of worms that it opens. Pass me back that book and I'll show you what the issue is. Because if we're talking about the shidra, then that means you've got to measure your lulav in a completely different way. You can't look at the total height of the lulav. What you got to look at is you have to analyze at what point the shidra ends, and then you can only measure it from that point down. So that you've got, take a look here at picture number 90. This, well, I said ends because it ends on top, so you go down. I'll pass around. Picture number 90, and this is the way we paskin, is the correct way to measure the lulav. Here, pass that around. Which means that this is a very big chumrah. Don't think that you can count the leaves on top of the lulav as part of the Kedei L'Na'aneh. The shidra of the lulav with the attached leaves is what we're talking about, the gedela nanea. I don't care if it goes up another three tefachim above that, that doesn't count. So this, of course, you have to be careful that you've got sufficient.
So we, a lot of these small...
Do you know when the leaf, the top of the leaves branch off?
Once they branch off, it's not a lulav, it's not the shidra shalulav. Okay, so here too, it's important to define what the shidra is.
It's just the shidra.
Yeah, right.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yes, you see a good picture for us?
Well, I mean, it shows the top part, yeah. Okay. Tanat, lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tefachim, kidei ledanea bo kasher shmuel, my goodness gracious, the Mishnah says, befeirush, not like you, it says that three tefachim is sufficient to shake the lulav. Ema uchidei ledanea bo kasher. If it has three tefachim and more, plus a tefach, which is lenanea bo, it's kosher, I'm not defining what that means. Market itle. I mean, either it means leaf or it means shidra. I mean, that depends how you're learning. The Mishnah, of course, doesn't commit itself one way or the other. That's the machlokas we just had. Toshma, shiur hadas v'arava shlosha, v'lulav arba'a. And it doesn't stress. I mean, here it's coming to give us the actual measurements. And it doesn't say shidra. So my love, even including the alim, no? No? Why? Levad mealin. I mean, if I define the lulav as the shidra lulav, why is this so clear to you? Although certainly it's true that generally a Tana and a Braita does define himself better than in the Mishnah, which is why we brought this. But it's not fatal. Gufa. Shiur hadas v'arava shlosha v'lulav arba'a. Comes along Rabbi Tarfon and says something is difficult to understand. Be'ama bat chamisha tvachim. Now, usually when you use the word be'ama, he's talking about the units that you use to measure. But if we're talking about less than an ama here, how can you measure your tvachim in an arba bas chamisha tvachim? That's crazy. So therefore, the only way to understand him is that what he's saying is that you actually need an ama of five tvachim to measure your hadasim. Omar Rava, may God forgive him. Do you think we could find even a three tefach hadas? He's going to kill us. He'll destroy the market completely. Sharalei Mari leRib Tarfon, may God forgive Rib Tarfon. Hashta avot shlosha lo meshkechinam bas chamishami. Boy, did you ever try to find hadasim? People think that the esrog is a problem. Then they get to find the dinim of the lulav. They realize an esrog is one day. The lulav is 3 days. But hadasim is 2 weeks. Seriously.
What?
Find kosher hadasim. Three kosher hadasim. Forget it. Look carefully. None of them are kosher. The ones with the best hechsherim are not kosher. Except there's one heksher, which is called the olive. But they charge like 120 shekel for the three hadasim. But those I've found are invariably kosher. Remarkable.
What's wrong with
that?
You mean the
shear is wrong? Shear is wrong. I mean, obviously, if you're not big, if you want to, you know, have Reb Chaim Noah shear, then it's not such a problem. But if you want to start with a chazan shear, and you want to have... You want to have your actual avot the whole way up? Forget it. No, you can't drive yourself mad. You simply go bankrupt. There's no problem at all. As long as you're ready to pay $1,000 for your lulav.
It's not measured to the end of the top leaf. It's just to the ground.
Shidra, right. But there, it doesn't usually make that much of a difference. But this is still.
Rabbi, might there be a relationship between
your tarot and the leaf? Sure is. We know that there is. From the dinam of Hanukkah, he's the one who holds that it's alei zayat teref b'fiu. Is Rabbi Tarfon shita? Anyway, shemen zayat b'vad is Rabbi Tarfon, obviously. But anyway, getting back to that. So therefore, how could he say such a thing? Ki asr of Dimi Omar, please, you misunderstand Reb Tarfon. Let's please try to figure out what he's saying. He did not say you're supposed to use an amabat chamisha, did he? He said bi amabat chamisha. Okay, so now I'll tell you what he's doing. He's giving you the shear of the tefach that you should use. So he says like this: the tvachim that we're referring to are tvachim that have been reduced to an ama bat chamisha, meaning, take an ama bat shishat vachim. split it into five parts. So that now you have an ama of five super tvachim. Those super tvachim are the size of the tvachim that you should use. Three of them, tsemihem shlosha lahadas, vashar lululav, which means each tefach is 3 3/5 of a tefach. Right? Each three tvachim are 3 3/5 of a tefach. So he's basically added a little bit extra. Okay? It doesn't help anyway. So he added a little bit. Lo no ra, lo no ra. You don't have to get God to forgive him. He won't completely destroy the market. It's a little bit more difficult. Yes, sir.
But it says the question is you couldn't even get the smaller.
Quickly.
Bishar lulav means the rest of that or one part more for the lulav or what? What is Sha'ar lulav?
The fourth one. Just means not of what's left here, what you said.
There's five yeah, I know, but, took three.
Yeah, but it means the fourth one, which you add for the lulav, doesn't mean that out of this what's left. Yes.
Okay,
so all he did was he added a little bit extra. But wait a minute, so now Shmuel contradicts himself. Here we just quoted Rav Yerama Shmuel, Shira Dasva Rav Ashloshah. Didn't he say that? I heard him say that very clearly. And there Rav Huna quotes Shmuel as saying, Halachic Rabbi Tarfa. In which case, it's not shlosha; it's shlosha and 3/5. How did he say shlosha? Loosely, it's shlosha, approximately. I mean, lo dak. What do you mean, lo dak? Lo dak. You could say lachumra. I mean, you could say lo dak lakula. People will rely on Shmuel. Buy a 3 tefach, normal tefach hadas. You know, I actually have a measuring tape that measures in tefachim. It's so cute. Measures an etzbaot, tvachim, and amot. It's the cutest thing. I should have brought it. So, that's a machlokas. But you don't have to have a machlokas. If you have my measuring rod, it says in black and white. That's a chumrah. Yeah, could be, or it depends. Sometimes it's a kula. Depends which way you're going. Yeah, it could be between 8 and 10.
8 and 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So for in other words, lechumra, you want to love it, it should be less than 24 centimeters. Fine. So how could he say lo dak? Ki usa ravin. Ravin finally comes along and explains that actually Rabbi Tarfon was being makel. And here we were yelling at him that God should forgive him. He was saying exactly the opposite. He was saying like this. Take an ama bat chamisha tvachim. Okay? That's also called an ama. Turn that ama into 6 parts. So now it's a standard ama, but it's smaller. Because it was really the small ama. Each one of those tefachs is now much smaller than the standard tefach. Takes 3 of those for adas, and the 4th one for the lulav. So now all you need is 2.5?
Less than 3.
Look at that. So ready to ask God for forgiveness. Sof, kasha de Shmuel ad Shmuel. So Shmuel there said 3. That's what we meant, lo dak. Okay, we're saying approximately 3. And that's lechumra, lo dak. I mean, if you want to really know, you can get away with 2.5. Vayna lechumra, lo dak. The Yomer of Unam Shmuel. Halacha ke Rabbi Tarfon. Yes, we saw it in a few places. Yeah, we also had other issues, the tefach shochek and the tefach that's crying, the tefach that's sad.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, you should have to be yelled at. At least I had a good ending. Gentlemen, I think it would be good if we would reduce the number of comments and questions, and each person limit himself maybe to 2 a day. No, seriously, because that way it's getting out of hand. People are sitting around waiting, and I'm more than happy to stay afterwards to discuss like details. Did you already get your 2?
Probably.
Yeah, right. So let's try to be a little tougher. Okay.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Hadas. Getting on now, moving on to the Hadassim. Hadas Hagazul Vahayavesh Pasul. Here too we have the same problem of the Lachen. If it's dried, we have the same problem of the Yevishut. And Shalasherava Shalyani Dachat, we have the same problem because it's Ktute Michta Chiyurin. Niktam Rosho, if the top of the Hadas has been cut off, which by the way needs to be looked at because sometimes people just notice that it looks like Hadas, they don't notice that it's been broken off inside. Nifritsu Alav, if the leaves have fallen off, that's how Rashi learns, most agree. Oshayu Anavav, Mirubot Mi Alav, or it has more berries on it than it has leaves. I'll bet you never saw the berries on the Hadas, right? Yeah? A lot of people have never seen the Hadas berries. But, Okay. All right, great. Imiatan, if you pick off the berries so that now there's less, then it's kosher. But Eimamatin B'yom Tov, if you notice you got too many berries on Yom Tov, you can't fix it because it's like a tikkun mana. So even though it's not connected to the ground, it's not that you're picking, but you're being metaking. Tana Rabbanan, Anaf Eitz Avot. What exactly is the Torah referring to? A anaf of wood that is avot. Avot means that it's like completely thickened, it's colored. She'anafav, that means that the anaf, the little leaves, are chofin etetzo. That's what you see. You don't see the stick, you see basically what looks like a braid of leaves. Now what would that be? Have omer zahadas. Clearly that's the hadas. What else satisfies that? Well, what do you mean? Olive. Olive has these long, nice, silvery leaves that run along the whole branch. So imazeta. No. But it doesn't lie on the leaf. Be'ina avot v'leka. You need that it should look like an avot. It should look like a chain, basically. One on top of the other. The olive sticks out. So it may be very pretty, but it doesn't, and maybe an anaf eight. That's true. The whole eight has anaf on it, but it's not avot. So we have two things. In other words, we have, what's unique here is that the entire branch is covered with leaves, A, but an olive tree is also like that. And we also have that it should be avot, meaning it creates a chain-like effect where each leaf bends back down so it looks like a braid. That's a separate thing. The ima dulba, but couldn't it be like a chestnut? Rashi says, eitz armon. Rabbi Natam says, well, I never saw chestnuts that look kalua.
The dole in Hebrew is a plane tree.
A plane? P-L-A-N-E? Okay, so maybe then that's like the Rabbi Natan. Yes, but it's true that you do have a kilua, but you keep seeing the branch between each group of leaves. So that you have leaf and then you've got a little bit of the branch showing and so on. Whereas the Hadas has no branch showing. Why can't it be oleander? There you've got these long leaves that go running along the branch.
All around the row.
Right out here. Again, the Torah says it's supposed to be nice. And the hirduf has got sharp leaves. We'll get to that. It has sharp leaves, and therefore it's unpleasant if you can cut yourself against the edge of the leaf. Rava says the oleander. We're saying maybe it doesn't mean hadas, maybe it's oleander. Rava says mehacha ha'emet v'ha'shalom ahevu, love, truth, and peace, and death is neither truth nor true peace. And therefore, poison is not exactly what the Torah would say to use for your lulav. The oleander is poisonous. Tosfos says, you know, there's no reason to define the two psukim differently. I mean, emet v'shalom, sticky, prickly things are not emet v'shalom either. You know, necessarily, because he doesn't like the fact that it's oleander. It brings a right. There's two different things. There's hirdufni and hirduf. And if one of them could be used for the morar, how could it possibly be poisonous? So therefore, he says they're both basically the problem of stickiness. Tana Rabbana. Kalua means like a kliya, like a braid, which would mean it's domele shalshelet. So that's like a braid, a braid also is not smooth. It goes in and out like a chain, basically a braid. And that's exactly the effect that you get on Adas. Each leaf goes out, comes back in, so that you sense that it's braided. And that's Adas. Nothing else like it. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, there's another point here. Anaf eitz avot. That means an eitz. Shetam eitzo upiryo shava. By the way, there's another girsi here that makes more sense. Shetam eitzo va'anafo shave. Because it's eitz avot. So the anaf eitz, rather. Anaf eitz. The anaf and the eitz are the same. Like eitz pri. So over here, you've got the same taste in the leaf as you have in the wood. And that is not satisfied by the other examples that you brought. It's only the hadas that actually has the taste of the hadas leaf in the actual branch. And of course, we do that. We break it to get the taste, to get the smell, which is most of the taste. Well, yeah. I mean, that's where most of the taste comes from. Hechidami avot. What exactly is the shear over here of a braid? There's all types of hadasim, as anybody who's looked for them knows. There are some hadasim that you only have, let's say, two leaves coming out of one spot, but then you've got, underneath them, you've got another leaf that's coming. Creates a chain-like effect, but they're not all at the same point. So, Omer of Yehuda, it's got to be at least tlata tlata tarfi bikina. You've got to have at least three leaves coming out of the same bud that surround on the same level that surround the eights. That's Rashi's pshat. Other Rishonim say, boy, that's a heck of a chumrah. Hardly ever see that. And indeed, you hardly ever see that, but that's how we paskin. But they're willing to accept, even if the lower leaf is at least within range of the other leaves. The not the actual leaf part, but the stalk of the leaf is within range of the other stalks. It doesn't have to come out of exactly the same bud.
What constitutes range?
Sure, you want a picture?
That it's still they're parallel, so that you know you have them not the whole way, but you have them basically touching. It's probably not a good picture anyway. what picture is it?
168.
Give me a number.
Pei Gimel.
I don't know. Pei Gimel is not a good sign. I mean. Yeah.
It's not terrible.
This is not this, though.
That was just what I was referring to.
This is not this.
But they're using the
this is, if you take a look at the pay bays, take a look at pay olive and pay bays. Pay olive has got Rashi's pshat, okay, where the three leaves are coming out of the same bud. That we don't paskin.
We don't?
No. We paskin like pay bays, which is Tasis's pay bays. There are others who learn that what shows here as well, it doesn't really show. Yeah, no, this is good. It's almost good. It's not quite good. Pei Gimel. You know what? I'll try to bring in an actual Adas. It's very hard to. But here, what they have in Pei Gimel is they don't have the stalk of the leaf on the same level as the other leaf at all, which is Adas Shotez. We'll see. That's not what he's referring to. Right. But there is a middle thing which he doesn't show for some reason, which is acceptable. And maybe the other one has it. What did you show me?
No.
Pass it to me. Can you see it? No, also no good. No. No, 168 is not kosher. But what is very common is something between the two, where the bottom of the leaves are not coming. In other words, the bud is not on exactly the same level, so that if you take a thread and go around the leaf, you'll find that it's exactly the same place on the bud. But if you take a thread and put it around the leaf, it will hit every bud. some of them on the bottom and some of them on the top, which means that there's a crossover between the bottom of the leaf. The stalk of the leaf are within range. That's why I call it within range. It doesn't show it. This is out of range completely. Because if you put it around it, the thread will not touch. It will not touch the two at the same time. But if the bud would be a bit higher there, then the stalk of that leaf would already be within range of the stalk of the other leaf. And the way to do it is to actually have a thread with you. So just bring along a thread when you check your hadas, because basically most of the hadasim today are only kosher that way. They're not kosher. You'll find only four or five layers that will be kosher like that picture, and then they start moving apart. And if you want to look at exactly that picture, you're not going to get a shear. As you get closer and closer to the bottom, they move further and further away. So many of them will still remain kosher, not as hadas shoteh, but if they all will touch the thread. Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, but you need the shear.
You don't have to cut it.
You need a magnifying glass. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's official sets. No, but we're going to sell them. And the measuring. Absolutely. Two different measuring sticks, one like Reb Chaim Noah, one like the Chazan. It's fantastic. It probably cost us 3 shekel to make it, and we sell it for 400.
All the merchandise.
You know, with a little bit of a... Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Different colors, so you don't get mixed up between, obviously. Abba, you're in.
Yeah.
Abba's financing this effort. We're gonna be millionaires.
Every one of the sets of leaves...
So we have the whole shear is 3 tvachim. There's some who say it has to be the whole shear. Others say it only has to be rove, which is the way we paskin. Others say it only has to be one layer. That's the best. The top layer, but we don't paskin. Okay.
So instead of
paskin,
how far do
we paskin? We don't paskin. There's opsak. There's reprayim. All you can rely on is 8 centimeters. Per tefach. Rav Amri, okay, we said that. Rav Kahana Amri, afilu trei v'chad. Even if you got 2 coming out of one layer and 1 coming from underneath it, it's also kosher. Rav Acha, Bereda Rava, used to bedafka get the puzzle ones. I mean, he used to bedafka get the 2-in-1 ones because he said, look, hoyel v'nafi we put in the Rav Kahana. If Rav Kahana paskin that way, I'm going to show everybody. It's interesting that it was Rav Acha's father, who was Rava, who did exactly the same thing with the Shnei Tafshilin on Pesach, to show Shnei Tafshilin was just the juice on there, right? He says, "Oh, of enoughik me pumi de Ravuna." So he learned from his father Beitza, with just the rote of Shalav. So he says, since he said it, that's what I'm going to do. I guess his son learned from him. He did the same thing with Rav Kahana, which is very nice. Omer Bar Bar Amemer. Well, you know, he tells Rav Ashi, all I know is that my dad used to call that Hadas Shoter, which means that it's not even Hadas. So I mean, maybe you want to be Machmer to use non-kosher Hadas, but I don't want to say what you are if you are, but Hadas Shoter ought to be used only by certain kind of people. Tanarabonin. That's how we pass him. It's not kosher. Noshu Rovala Nishtayer Bo Miut Kasher. If most of the leaves that had been there initially fall off, it would be kosher as long as you still have a chain. What is that avot? Isn't that a contradiction? First you say nashu rova lav kasher, which means that you don't have a chain by definition because the chain requires the 3. And then you say ubevachte avodo kayemet. I mean, if most of them fell off, that means 2 out of 3 fell off. So keeping the natural tray, if most of the leaves fell off, then how the heck could you possibly have an avot? By definition, avot echemeshkachas. Omer Abaye, oh boy, you're making a jump, which is a mistake. You thought because the shear is 3, so that means all you can have is 3? There's plenty of other types of adasim where you can get 7 leaves on one level. Beautiful. So over there, if most of it falls off, you still have 3. So in other words, it doesn't matter if it falls off as long as you have the avot. So we're talking about Asa Matzra'a. Either Asa Matzra'a refers to Egyptian Hadas, or it refers to Hadasim that are used around the edges of the field Meitzar. They're very thick, well watered. So, they've got room to grow, like the one over there at in Middleburg, in the church. So over there, you've got Shiva Bechatkina. Even after you get rid of four, you still have three left. Om Rabbaya, so you see from here that Asa Mitzra is kosher for Darshana. I should hope so. Why not? Pshita. Didn't we, it's got a subspecies name, right? It's not just Hadas, it's Hadas Mitzra. So maybe it's not kosher. Kamash Malan, that it is kosher. Hey, how do you know? Maybe in fact it's not kosher. Ema Achinami. Excuse me. The Torah never gave the word Hadas anywhere, okay? So what are you giving me? It's got to be the Hadas and not Hadas Matzaros, you know? The Torah said Eitzavot, no? So this is Eitzavot. Bishleimi wanted to talk about the Ezov and not Ezov Yavana. Okay. There the Torah named it. Oh, you didn't name it. So anything that fits the bill, fits the bill. Tanu Rabbanan. Yafshu rov alav v'nisharubo shlosha bade alim lachim kosher. If most of the leaves have been dried out, and all you're left with now is three hadasim, on each one of these three hadasim, you have three leaves that are still kosher up on the top. It's still okay. As long as it's on the top, by the end of circus, you'll notice the hadasim look awfully old and withered. Well, as long as they're still showing okay, you know. Even old age, just take care of the hair and the face. You know, no one will notice the rest. It's all right. Except for the hadasim olive, which I have made. Now, 2 years in a row, I kept my hadasim from Sukkot to Pesach. And I put them on my table, Pesach, and they were bright, green, fresh as the day. I have no idea, as far as, no, not in water. As far as I'm concerned, it was a mace that came because of Chamishasar. But I tell you, 2 years in a row, I've done it. Amazing. How'd you call that? Om Ravuna. Lo shono elo niktam. Avon nistak kasher. Haiva tanya lulav kafuf kavut saduk. Akum dom elo magal is posul. Charut posul. Dom elo charut kasher. Om Rav Papa da ovid ki himnik. That's when it's possible. Okum domel magal, omarava. Yes. But that's only if it's extending downwards. Avol acharav briatahi, omrav Nachman letzodim kilafon of damri, vaamri la kila acharav damri. It would still be kosher. The omarava haylu lava the solik bechad hutza bal mumu upasul. Nifritzu alav omrav papa. Nifritzu means like a broom. Nifradu means they're just separated, but still attached to the bottom. Boy Rav Papa, Netlakat Yomit Mao, Tashmad Yomer of Imaron, Omer of Yishub and Levi, Nitlat Yomit Pasa, which I assume means where the Netlaka, Lo Nitla Shiny, but the Chosalai, Chos is always worse. Ikari Amri, Omer of Maron, Omer of Yishub and Levi, Netlakat Yomit, Nasak Moshe, Nitlat Yomit, and Psula, terrible feeling that my Schach arrived. Yeah. Do you want to run over to my house quick?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Huh? If the schach has arrived, it's got to be brought up to the Rabbi Yehuda Omer, else tell him to deliver somebody else's first to come back in 5 minutes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Mibishum Rabbi Tavron, Kaput, Tmarim, Kofut, Imaya Parud, Yich Patenu. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Ravash, Imaya Kaput, Tmarim, is referring to a lulav. Maybe it's the Haruta. No, come on, they're being a kafut. I mean, the charut is no longer up against the leaf. The leka. So maybe it means an ufta. That's totally kafut. Now, kafut means that it's got to be able to be parut. This is kafut v'yomed be'olam. Well, maybe it just means the kufra. It's still able to be kafut. Om Rabbaya. What? People should go around with splinters all sukkahs. Do acher darche noam v'cholet yivoteh shalom k'tiv. Omele Rava Tosfalo Ravina. Maybe it means two boxes of, what do you call this? Clusters of dates. No, it says kapat. Okay, one cluster of dates. No, that's called a kaf. Actually, some start with a stira. I, the Bryce's apostle, to which Shabbaya responded, Lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tvachim. Om Rav Yonah mishmu shiur hadas v'arava shlosha v'lulav arba'a. Kete shei lulav yotze min hadas tefach. Which Rashi is bedayek to say, yotze min hadas, nothing to do with the shear of shaking, but yotze. Rabbi Parnachom, Rabbi Yochanan, shidro, not lulav. Shidro shal lulav. Tzorach sheyotze min hadas tefach. You said four. Ema uchedei l'naneabo. Kasher. Market itle. I can't commit to that. Toshma. Shiur adaz varava shlosha. V'lula varba'a. My love, including the alim. No, why? Maybe without the alim. Gufa. Shiur adaz varava shlosha v'lula varba'a. And Reb Tarfon throws a wrench into the seer. And it says, Ba'ama bat chamishat vachim. Omar Rabba, good Lord, Charalei Morel Rabbi Tarfon. Hashtavot shlosha lo meshkechina. You're going to tell me we're going to find Hadassim bat chamishami, boy. Ki Yasser of Dimi Omar, he didn't mean that. What he was saying was, Ama bat shishat vachim, aseota bat chamisha, and then you shlosha of those tvachim la Hadass. Vashar lululav. Did you go in? Go into that. Kama havelu tlata and tlata chumshi. Kasha de shmuel ha de shmuel then. Hachom revira mishmuel shira das varava shlosha. Hosubam revana mishmuel lok rabbi tarfon. Lodak. Ema de amrina lodak lachumra. Lekula mi amrina lodak. Ki yosu ravin omar ama patchem isha tvachim aseo ta shisha. Now we're going down. It's a kula. Tzemiyem shlosha la das. Hashala lulav. Which means all you need is 2.5. Okay, but still, sof kasha de shmuel ha shmuel. Lodak. That's lachumra lodak. Yom revan omar. Shmolok Rabbi Tarfon. Hadas hagazu ve'ayavesh pasul. Shal asher v'shal nidachat pasul. Niktam rosh nifetzu alav ha'yanav v'mrubu mi'alav. Pasul. V'im mi'atan kasher. V'ein me'matim yom tov. Tone Rabban on anaf etzavot means anafav chufin et etzo, which has got to be. Aviyomer za hadas. Why? Maybe zeta. In an avot v'leka. Ema dulba. Being on enough of Kofin and Seitz of Aleka. Ema Hirduf. Amar Bayaduach Hadarche Noam Aleka. Rav Amar Meacha Hemet Vashalom Ha'evu. Ton Rabbana. Kalua Kemin Kli'a V'domele Shalshelet. And that's Adas. Rav Eliezer Ben Yaakov Amar Anaf Eitz. That's Eitz Shetam Anafo Eitzov Anafo Shaveh. Avem is Adas. Tana Eitz Avot Kasher V'sheinu Avot Pasul. Define. Omer Rav Yehuda, the kaimi, tlata, tarfe bikina. Rav Kan Omer, even feel a trevachad. Rav Akab read a rova mahadara trevachad. Hovenovi bepumna Rav Kana. Omer le mar bar memel Ravashi, well, I don't know. My dad called that Adas Shote. Tana Rabbana, no shu rova lovenishtai rubo miut kosher, as long as the avod is kayemet. That's impossible. A gufa kasha. First you say, Nashu Rova love is kosher. Then you say, Bavashte avoto kayemet. If two out of the three fell off, where the heck could the avot possibly be? Rabbi, no. Who said you started with three? Mashkachet babasa matzra. We're kaima shiva shiva b'chatkina. The chinatri, even four, you're still left with three. Rabbi, shmamina. Hayasa mitzra is kosher loshana. Well, why not? Because ma'azatem ahovit l'shem levai. Lo mit kasher. Kamash malam. Hey, you know what? Now that you mention it, maybe you're right. Got a new chumra. Emal chinami. No, it's eitzavot omrachmana. Mikol makom. Don rabbanon, yov shurov alav, v'nisharu bo shloshe badei alin lachin, kasher, v'yom rav chista, u'barosh kol echad v'yachad.